What do you think? I mean, you can laugh at me. I mean, it's okay.
Well, my favorite part there is the quality analysis that you gave of why you picked Sterling Brown, which was, I quote, "I don't know why I picked him." That is some high quality basketball analysis right there.
He had a terrible game. So anyway, he's gone.
I also dropped Nenad Dimitrijević, and I know I said I have a lot of faith in him.
I thought he was your guy. What happened?
Right. A lot of faith in him, but not that much faith.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello and welcome back to the latest episode of the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast. I am your host, Frankie Sachs. This is your spot as we all go on the quest for the perfect EuroLeague Fantasy lineup. I'm joined by my co-host, Vasiliki, and this week we have a special guest.
Hey, what's up? I'm back, baby.
He's back!
Hello, Javi.
What's up? It's been a long time, but here I am ready to rage rumble. Let's see what happens.
The people have been waiting for you, Javi.
All right, well, good. Because, first things first, we got to talk about Tamir Blatt. Thank you so much, Frankie, for your recommendation. You made me, people don't know, but we did a pilot in which he recommended Tamir Blatt and he made me change my mind. He got 39.6 points. And basically, if I'm having a good score or an okay score, it's because of you. So thank you very much. I know that you're here to give tips to the people. So really, thank you for keeping me in the race to beat you.
But really the question is, I think 8.1% of fantasy owners had Tamir Blatt, and I recommended him on the podcast last week. What were the other 92% thinking?
I don't know. Vasiliki, did you have Tamir Blatt? I think so, right?
Of course I did. Here's the reason that I had an okay score too, because he also led Maccabi to a win, and then I also had Oded Katas on my bench, so that was very crucial. I would be doomed otherwise. So thank you, Frankie. Your advice was good. I will follow your lead from now on too.
Yeah, just to round things up, you know, in the Final Four 2011, David Blatt said in a press conference that his son Tamir played basketball and he would like to be coached by Obradovic one day. That was 2011, and he's wearing the t-shirt today of Final Four 2011.
This was not planned. No, that is just a fluke. But yes, I am wearing that shirt.
All right. Well, let's get into business. How was the week for you guys? Frankie, you beat us all. I mean, you won in between the three of us. You had the highest score.
I did. I have to say I got a little bit lucky, obviously, because I was not able to change my team. So I built it that way, but I had all my high scoring guys in the front. I was nervous about taking Vezenkov as my captain, and it turns out I was right. There was reason to be nervous, and that did hurt my overall score. But I finished with 133.8 points, which, considering the situation where I could not use tactics and could not make a switch between turn one and turn two, was not too bad. And I gained a point and a half worth of credits, or credit and a half, which at this point in the season is quite important also.
Well, I did have time to change, and the thing is that we did this thing on Twitter that we analyze people's teams, and somebody told me you don't have a good option for the second round, and that made me change my team and take TJ Shorts, who ended up being my captain and playing really well. So because of that, I got almost 130 points. But it made me think. And this week, we'll talk about it later, but we have three rounds of games, and this is going to be very important to have at least one good player in each of the turns. Other than Mirotic, who had a, let's say, so-so game, everybody more or less delivered, and the bench players were terrible, and this is where I'm going to focus my trades this week.
I had 121.8 points, which is so-so, not great, not terrible, I'd say. I didn't completely humiliate myself for the first round, so that's good for the purposes of the podcast. So people will still follow us and see this podcast, yeah. I had Vezenkov as my captain. Round two, this didn't go very well, but I'm still keeping him. I still keep my trust in him. So we'll see about this week how things will play out.
Speaking of all of our scores, Fabi, why don't you tell the people about who won the podcast private league?
Oh yeah, it was Ben Russellhoff with 173.3 points, which is a lot. He had Dan Oturu as team captain. Of course, he had Tamir Blatt. Of course, he had Oded Katash. So yeah, shout out to him. Congratulations. Let's talk about the week ahead. Like I said, the most important thing in fantasy, I think, this week is the fact that there are three turns of games. And this is critical. I think you need a good player in each round to at least have a good choice of captain. What do you think about the first games? Does anybody in Zvezda or Baskonia or Maccabi or Monaco that you would take as captain or as a first choice?
I will get Vlad as my captain for T1, just to be sure. Because if he repeats what he did, he might stick there. But we'll see for later on.
I actually had 5 players from turn one. I was not planning to do that, but it worked out with where I thought the best values were. And I'm starting with Timothée Luau Caboué as my captain for turn one.
I have 2 different choices. And I wrote the Fantasy Tips article that is coming out on Monday. Probably you read it already when you're seeing this podcast, but I recommended Tadas Sedekerskis, who has been rock solid lately, had a PR of 21 in the EuroLeague, PR of 23 in the Spanish League. But also Jaciel Ribeiro, I think he has a very, very good chance to play well against Maccabi, against Monaco. He played really well in the first game, saw a lot of minutes also. And I think Ribeiro would be, for me, it would be a better choice than Vlad as a captain. I'm actually thinking to, right now I don't have him in my team, but I'm thinking of selling or not selling Mirotic to get Ribeiro, because I really think he has a pretty good chance to be MVP of round two.
I did consider him, and I actually have not walked away from that option yet. I still have until Wednesday to make the moves. It would require dropping Eddie Tavares to make it happen. But I do think that Rivero has a lot of value. It would require then going for another center, and I have to decide of all the other centers who had very strong weeks, like Aturu or Tyreek Jones, who are in that 10-11 range, which is where Rivero is. Am I better off with 2 of them and instead of Tavares and Mem Jaite, who I have right now? And then there's the other thing to consider, that it's only been one round and Monaco has a lot of different options at center. Will they have the guy, whether it's Jaite, whether it's Donatassa, Matheunas? Do they have somebody who can stop Rivero? How will that matchup work? And I'm not certain yet.
I do have Rivero on my team. I got him this week because he played a lot in the first round and he will be playing a lot with Iwenyi and Gabriel out. And Alpha Kappa only played 2 minutes. He's supposed to be the replacement of Gabriel, but Katas is not trusting him yet. So I did get Rivero. I think he's going to have a great game.
Well, I think what you bring up is very interesting. Is it that he didn't trust him yet, or is it he only practiced a handful of times? And because of that, now with another week worth of practice, will Kaba get 10, 12 minutes, and will that cut into Rivero's time? And that's part of the decision-making process, whether Rivero was worth the price this week. I'm not certain yet.
I'm not sure how Maccabi is practicing right now because of the situation. Some of the foreign guys remain in Belgrade. The other guys went back to Tel Aviv. So I'm not sure they're practicing all together. So that doesn't work in favor of Alpha Kappa.
Well, the middle of the pack games, T2. What do you guys think? Basiliki, you go first.
The most interesting matchup is, of course, the one between Anadolu Efes and Fenerbahce, the Turkish derby. It's going to be popcorn worthy for sure, and I'm really eager to see Real Madrid playing against Partizan. Both teams are facing different paths right now. Real is not playing very well. Partizan is a brand new team, so there's a lot to see there too.
I'll say that there's 2 other games which for fantasy purposes are a lot more interesting to me. For sure, I think that we're still trying to find out the rotations on some teams. Panathinaikos against Bayern is one of them. Who are going to get all of the minutes going forward in Panathinaikos? If it's a close game, who are they going to trust down the stretch? For Bayern, my man De Silva did not get the minutes that I was expecting him to get. Is that just a one-time thing, or is he going to have a different role in the EuroLeague than he has in the German League? And also with the Real Madrid against Partizan game, we're trying to figure out not just matchups, but their big men, both Tyreek Jones and Brandon Davies had monster games. Is that going to be their style? Are they going to be pounding the ball inside? Are they going to have 2 centers who are worth considering every week, or was that again a one time thing? So I'm very interested to see how that works, especially when you're talking about those 2 guys against Eddie Tavares.
I would stay away from all Panathinaikos players in case it's a big time thing. I mean, other than of course Ataman, who was also recommended by you. Thank you very much. He's making my team basically, as you see. It's easy to play this game. You just do what Frankie says, and you'll be fine.
Just make me go first.
Yeah, exactly. I'm concerned about, I mean, I'm keeping my two centers who are going to play in T2, Lavernier and Danoturu. I don't like the fact that they play in the same night because I may have to play them both. But Oturu had a good game, had a really good preseason, and Jolo is playing really, really, really well lately. So I would say that I'm safe in the center position with these two. Will I play both of them? Well, it depends on probably depends on what happens in the first turn. I think it's important to have, like I said, at least one good player per turn. That takes us to turn three. To me, there's a solid candidate to be, let's say, your last chance for team captain, which is TA Shorts. I was checking. Okay, it was the Euro Cup, but all playoffs games he had a PAR of 20 or more. All season long, he only had two games with single-digit PAR. And people can say, well, it's the Euro Cup, and it's different. But he has the same role in the Euro Cup and EuroLeague and before there in other competitions. So I would say that TA Shorts is going to be a really good fantasy player all season long. And I'm going to try to keep him as long as I can.
So I the only player after turn three, as it worked out, is Martin Hermansen. Who also had a strong game for me at a very cheap price at point guard. I feel like I've been unearthing all the cheap point guards, and he's definitely somebody who I plan to keep in my roster if this is going to be his role going forward. I hope that I will have had a strong game by somebody in one of the first two turns that I don't have to turn to him as my captain, but that's at least I have him as a backup if needed.
I did get Sylvain Francisco from Žalgiris, which is playing on the third round. And I'm not really sure about how he's going to do against Olympiacos. But I think the Reds are not playing the toughest defense at this point. And Wade Baldwin thrived in the first game. So maybe another guard can thrive against them too. Hopefully. This is Francisco. We're going to have him on my team. Sorry to Olympiacos. No hard feelings here. But yeah, I need to have a strong option for round three. Turn three, actually.
Have we all moved on from Vezenkov then as our potential captain in turn three?
Sorry, Sasha, I never had you. I will. But in round one, I just went for Mirotic, and it was actually a bad choice. So.
I do have Sasha on my team. He's still on my team, and he might be the captain. It would be a last-minute call between him and Francisco. I would have to decide like before the first tip-off of the night.
I want to say something, which is that Thomas Wolkop went from Zagreus to Olympiacos. Keenan Evans went from Zagreus to Olympiacos. Maybe it's a big game from Francisco, seeing how things are going. And I'm sure that he'll be extra motivated because he also played for Spanoulis in Peristeris. So that's of course, the biggest Olympiacos legend there is.
What about Dunstan and Brasdeikis?
Interesting, yeah. Well, Dunstan played a long time ago, but Brasdeikis has something to say in that game. I'm sure that he will be extra motivated. I want to see that. Yeah, but Brasdeikis could be actually a good choice. He played really... I mean, he's seeing solid minutes now again, and it's a matter of time before he gets a really high PAR, just like he did 2 years ago with Žalgiris. So yeah.
Okay, guys, now we need to see our teams properly, like one by one, so people can understand which are our options, which players we damped, and which players we got. So, Frankie, do you want to go first? And we'll follow your lead afterwards and steal all your ideas?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the most important thing, which I didn't do last week because I knew I wasn't making changes on Friday, but in general, I like to have as many guys in the 10 to 12 point range, solid guys who I can expect double digit 20 point, 25 point PRs every week. So to make that happen, it was time to get rid of Vezenkov. Then I also dropped two guys at the end of my bench, Joel Parra and Balsa Kovivica. And I added Jaite at center, Mem Jaite at center, Kalinic from Zvezda at forward, and also Timothy Luelu Kabore at forward. And that gives me depth of lineup. Those are my changes.
I have a core of players that I'm going to try to keep as long as I can. Two guards, Samir Blatt and TA Shorts. One forward, Nikola Mirotic. Okay, he didn't play well in round one, but I trust him. I think they're going to play against Paris. It's a very, high-scoring game. And I think he's a very good fit against Paris. And the two centers, Oturu and Lavernier, along with Ataman, that's going to be my core, or I'm going to try to stick to these players as long as I can. Then I need players to able to grow and make some credits. I'm keeping Matisek also, but my trades are I traded Petrusev, which I think a lot of people will. He didn't see many minutes. You can laugh at me about Sterling Brown. He didn't play well, and I saw it coming. I don't know why he picked Sterling Brown, but also Oscar da Silva. I think it was a very popular choice, but didn't go well. And Kalaitzakis. These four players are going. I bought Manja Marinkovic, playing. I mean, I think he should have a good game. He's seeing a lot of minutes. Jani Vetzel. Okay, he plays against Barcelona. He often plays the five position. Maybe not the best game for him, but I think he's in very good shape. John Di Bartolomeo. Same. If Tamir Blad worked well, why not go for the other guard too? And Ndiaye from Asvel. So what do you think? I mean, you can laugh at me. I mean, it's okay.
Well, my favorite part there is the quality analysis that you gave of why you picked Sterling Brown, which was, I quote, "I don't know why I picked him." That is some high quality basketball analysis right there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, okay, I thought, okay, my train of thought was, okay, they're going to play Baskonia. They have everybody's new in the team. Probably Jelko will go with the most experienced guys in the EuroLeague. And since Caleb Jones didn't play the EuroLeague before, I said, okay, Brown is going to play a lot of minutes. And he did. But he had a terrible game. So
I don't think that's the real reason you picked him. I think the mouth weren't mouthing and you said, okay, I have to pick one. Let's go with him, like, just randomly.
Yeah, well... Anyway, he's gone anyway. So, and I really hope that Di Bartolomeo will play well. Right now, Blatt and Di Bartolomeo are really, really good choices. So, and they play in turn one. So, even if one of them doesn't play well, I can take him out. So, yeah.
Okay. So, I dropped Vincent Poirier. I'm sorry, Vincent, but Dan Oturu overshadowed you. So, you have to show me something before I got you back on my team. So, I got Hasiel Rivero, as I told you before. I also dropped Nena Dimitrijevic, and I know I said I have a lot of faith in him, but again, he didn't provide as much as I needed in first round.
I thought he was your guy. What happened?
Right. A lot of faith in him, but not that much faith.
Yeah, exactly.
He was my guy, and he will be my guy at some point, I hope. But right now, not so much.
He's not your round two guy.
No, definitely not. I got Francisco at his position. I also dropped Odet Katas. I'm sorry, he did what he had to do in round one. I'm not sure he's going to do it in round two. So I'm taking Ergin Ataman, following again your lead, Frankie. And I'm planning to keep him there for next week too. So yeah, Coach Ergin, welcome to my team. Hope you can bring the win to me. And I also got Vanya Marinkovic. I think I made a mistake with not picking him in the first round, but who am I to be judged? Even his wife doesn't have him on her team. So, sorry, yeah. Vanya.
If you get the pattern, Sterling Brown, new in the team. Dmitrijevic, new in the team. Poirier, new in the team. Da Silva, new in the team. Petrusev, well, not really, but most of the players that we're dropping, they got into a new team and didn't get the role that we expected. It's something to think about.
In my case, they were all guys who were back from last season, or Vezenkov back from two seasons ago. But yes, it didn't quite work out. But I did not have any EuroLeague rookies, which is something that I'm always nervous about in the beginning. So that is one way to build your team. Just guys who've got a little bit more experience.
Vezenkov never actually left, mentally speaking. I think he was playing the Fantasy Challenge like crazy, and he was thinking about the EuroLeague all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope he gets more shots this game, because last time he didn't get as many as I thought. So if his players can pass him the ball a little bit more, that'd be perfect for all of us.
I think Vezenko is due for a big week. I think that he will put up a very nice number. I just couldn't. I didn't want to be stuck with only having eight players, and I needed the money someplace. But I would not be surprised to see Vezenko go off this week against Zalgiris.
Did you see the EuroLeague social media, this 3-point contest between Papanikolaou and Vezenko, and the way he was shooting like so fast?
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. He's amazing. He's amazing. No wonder he was the MVP. Captain choice. I think we're going to start with the same captain, I believe. I'm going with, of course, Tamir Blatt after his monster game, just because he plays in the first round. If he doesn't play well, I'll see my other options. But the candidates are Lovrenier in turn two and TA Shorts in turn three in case nobody delivers. So that's more or less my strategy in round two. Frankie, what do you have?
So I'm going to go with Timothy Luwilu-Kabore as my captain over Blatt for turn one. I just have a good feeling about it, and I think that they will be playing, that Monaco will pay more attention to Tamir, although they'll also be playing plenty of attention to Jordan Lloyd, who was one of their own the last couple of years. Matt Strelzel matchup, I just don't know if we'll see such a big number from Tamir, but I'm for sure keeping my team. For turn two, let me ask you for some advice. I've got the option of Eddie Tavares, who historically has had some pretty big games against Partizan, although it's a different lineup, or Cordinier, who's coming home with Virtus to play in France.
Tavares, always. If you ask me, Tavares.
Yeah, I will go with Eddie too.
So that is my turn two option at captain. And as I said before, if both don't go well, then I always have Martin Hermansen up my sleeve for the turn three.
I will start with Blatt for turn one. For turn two, I'm not sure I have someone that good. Maybe it will be Eliza Bryant from Anadolu Efes, even though Larkin is back in the game, but it's a derby, so anyone can play well. He played really well in the Turks Cup game a few weeks ago, so Bryant will be my second choice. And for the third round, I will be between Vazenkov and Francisco. So that's a last-minute call for sure.
Well, injuries are the best. I mean, when it comes to Fantasy Challenge, I mean, it's unfortunate, but injuries are very important in this game. I mean, if you get the right player who gets more minutes and gets a higher PAR because of an injury, that's when you get, to the good score. What I can say is that the center point for injuries is the injury report on EuroLeagueNet, but there are plenty of places. Vasiliki does a great job at injuries too, posting them on Twitter. So there's plenty of ways to find out what's going on in the EuroLeague, of course.
Speaking of Twitter, now known as X, of course, you should all follow us there to make sure we don't make any last-minute changes, because we really need to wrap things up right now.
Before we go, we're going to put up the code on the screen. Please join us in the Fantasy Challenge Podcast Private League. You'll be able to see all of our scores, and every week we'll give a shout-out to the weekly winner. And please like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss it. We'll be back here again next week, trying to help you on the quest to find the perfect Fantasy Challenge lineup. Until then, bye from me.
Bye.